You know, people in Southwest Florida are quite jittery now and very nervous, and it's not just about their damaged homes or destroyed homes, but they're nervous about their insurance policies. I was reading just the other day that there was a lot of rumors going on that some of those companies are considering not paying through because there's so many, many homes were destroyed in that, and so many claims. But of course, like all people, we want our homes and automobiles and especially our lives to be protected. You know, Christ made a security claim for people of faith. He gave a graphic illustration of protection when he portrayed the Christian resting in the hands of God. We tend to forget about that God takes care of us. Now, does that mean we're problem-free? No, not at all. But God takes care of His own, and He really does. You know, He gave a graphic illustration of this, as I just read here. Just three verses that no one can snatch us out of His hands. And, you know, you've heard me say this. I think I mentioned it here a while back about Allstate Insurance, that they have a captivating slogan, "You're in good hands with Allstate." You're familiar with that, aren't you? Are you also familiar that in 1992, after Hurricane Andrew destroyed Dade County, they pulled out immediately? There were thousands of people lost everything because of that. And to this day, I don't like to watch those commercials because I'm still griping over that. They didn't have any money or any coverage or means to rebuild. But however, with God is completely a different concern. God is sure. You know, if you read the Bible all the way back into Genesis, all the way up, God never reneged on a covenant. God always followed through. But we humans are not quite like that. We like to sometimes say, well, it doesn't apply to me, and we move on. But we are always in good hands with God. Some people want to run their lives and exist as they please rather than as God desires them to live. You know, that can get you into trouble, can't it? It can get you into big trouble. Like rebellious sheep, people have looked toward greener pastures only to find they are alienated from God. Remember that book by Irma Bombeck, "The Grass Always Looks Greener Over the Septic Tank"? I like that. It makes me smile when I read it. But God wants us to look to Him, not to something that's real popular or faddish or whatever it is. And religion has their fads. You can bet your bottom dollar on that. You don't have to go too far but the television to see what's going on in current fads, theology and all that. That's why we have to be biblically based in our beliefs and theology, because if we take somebody else's word just haphazardly, we can get into trouble. We can get into serious theological faith problems come up and all that. And even the worst thing can happen, you can start doubting your faith. Don't allow that to happen. God is here for us. God is our protection. And you know, like I said, we can find ourselves alienated from God. Now, God doesn't do the alienating. We do. And we can get abandoned to the wrong cause, and you know, and sometimes we can even abuse the gifts God has given us. God guarantees an outlet for us, almost a rescue clause that provides the opportunity of faith nurturing and growth. When we trust God, He begins a good work. God will continue this endeavor throughout eternity. We are not just under God's care to receive eternal life. God intends for us to serve Him. Now listen, I'm not going to say, God may have great plans for you. I don't know what they are. I don't have a crystal ball. You say, well, I just don't have the energy, the motivation, or the get up and go. You don't have to. God will provide you what's needed. How much effort does it take to pray for somebody? How much effort does it take to pick up the telephone or to send an email. Those may be ministries that God would like for you to do. How many people do you know that are really living a lonely life? And they could use some type of encouragement. Those are ministries I'm referring to. I'm not saying get on the next plane and fly to Beijing or to Calcutta. That could happen. But God wants us to do things molded toward our lives, not toward somebody else's lives. You know, we do not enter a relationship to God to sit and wait for the judgment day. No, God desires that we are active, not sedentary. We may be weak creatures, but in God's hands there can be much accomplished. There really can. Amazingly, God chooses ordinary human beings and uses them for His glory. Now you're thinking, oh, I read about all these great Christians through there, like Mother Teresa, Billy Graham, you just name it. Well, you know what? They were just ordinary people like all of us here. Don't try to start comparing yourself to somebody else. That's when you get defeated. You need to allow God to work God's gift inside of you. And you will be amazed to see what you can accomplish but with God's grace working with you. You don't have to be another Billy Graham. You don't have to be another big missionary or anything. You can be yourself. And God is pleased with that. God is so pleased with that. You know, for instance, I haven't played in a while, but I like golf. Now, a golf club in my hand usually means I'm going to have a high score. But with a PGA golfer, a professional golfer, they may have a low score, which is great. It's just the difference is the one who uses the club. I love the game, but I'm not striving to get the big trophy in town. But that's the thing about it is, God has something for each of us. It may not be your cup of tea to do what even your spouse or your children or your parents do, but God has something specifically geared for you. You may already have discovered it. You know, it doesn't take much of an effort to do that. Just pray, God, use me. And don't, like I said, don't worry about getting your passport out. You probably won't be heading overseas anytime soon. But God does have some special things for us. You know, the salvation of the Christian depends on the grace and character of God. As we open our lives to God in faith, everything depends on God, not upon our power to hold on to Him. See, that's the problem with most of human beings. We want to be in control of it. We want to grasp it, but we forget God's the one that we need to rely upon, not our own wits or cleverness to get by. But some people believe if they call themselves Christians, it's rather like having a fire insurance policy. Have you ever known people who may have joined the church? They may have gone back to infancy when they were baptized, but very seldom darken the door. But let me tell you something. As soon as something happens, they may come back once. And I've heard people do this when, and I didn't even know them, and they die. And their families are saying, well, he was a member since 1904 or something like that. Well, that's good and well. But why didn't he participate more? Something happened there. Now, I can't evaluate it, and I'm not judging. But we need to keep our faith stoked. We need to keep it going and nurtured. That's why some people never come back to church. They've kind of just lost that enthusiasm for the Lord. But it's on. God gives us the grace, but it's left up to us to do something about it. Think about that. Think about that, what God is doing, and see how you can follow through with whether it's reading your Bible, praying, like I said, calling people, whatever it is. God will be pleased about that. But you know, there is assurance, but also warnings found in the book of Hebrews about taking our salvation for granted. The smugness some people view their relationship to God is really frightening. There are no characteristics in their lives that reflect what Paul called the fruit of the Spirit. So guess what? We have to discover that for ourselves. Now, if you're sitting there and saying, well, God can just dump it in my lap, but we have to in partnership with God. Think about that. We are in partnership with God. And God wants us to be that way. Secular society says what we want to do. Let's be insolent, unforgiving, hold grudges, though we claim to be Christians, but that doesn't hold water. To isolate ourselves from fellowship with other people of faith because of some personality clash also does not reveal a person sold out to God. It demonstrates someone who was misinformed about their relationship to God. I think one of the worst things in today's society, in the church particularly, is cheap evangelism. They do offer it like an insurance policy. You listen to it and you wonder, is that actually biblical? So if you ever have questions, don't come to me first. Go to your Bible. The Bible will tell you what is correct and what's not correct. Being misinformed can really detour your faith into a vibrant, enjoyable relationship to God. And by having cheap evangelism at bargain basement prices for eternal life, it's left the modern church in a state of chaos. It is time that everyone evaluate their relationship to God. People don't join the church to become Christians. They come into the church because it is a place that God desires everyone to develop their faith, gratefulness, and love for Him. In God's grace, we gradually experience change. Now, some of you were probably thinking before I said experience change gradually, that you have to have it immediately. No, it's a growing process. You know, you might be a lot more further along right now than you were this time last year. And again, don't look at your neighbor, don't look at your family, just look toward God and allow God in you to go down that yellow brick road of faith together. That's the important thing. A lot of times, and I've caught myself doing it, where I tried to keep up with somebody and I thought, you know what, that's not my cup of tea to do that. Or compare, well, I had a friend in seminary, and his mother and father were great people, but they were not Priscilla and Aquila in the book of Acts, but he made them out that way. And I was with another friend and we met them and I thought, well, they're nice people, but I don't think they walk on water yet, but he thought they did. So don't start glamorizing other people until you confer with God through prayer about where God wants you to be. Don't say, well, I want to be just like so-and-so. Well, that's good and well. But being like so-and-so, you don't know what they're going through yourself. So allow God to work through you and see if you can blaze your own trail. That's the greatest and important thing you can have. In God's grace, we gradually experience change, as I just said. And God transforms a person, and then they move away from flirting with sin and vices that keep them from spiritual blessings. I like what Reverend Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great British preacher, said about 130, 40 years ago. He was probably the greatest preacher in the 19th century, and he was asked once, "Do you believe in the perseverance of the saints?" And he replied, "No, but I believe in the perseverance of the Savior." We have to focus upon our Savior and not some doctrine. Remember that. Our Savior is far more important. So why not continue to place yourself in God's care? It is through grace that we place ourselves, but it takes faith to sustain that relationship and trust. You know, reading this scripture here about we're always in God's hands and tender loving care, I don't call it a faith experience, but it's a good illustration on sometimes how we feel like we're dangling and God's going to let go. Years ago, when I was a missionary in Brazil, a group of us went to Rio de Janeiro. You've seen pictures of Sugarloaf, the big rock that comes out of the bay in Rio. Well, guess how you get up there? By cable car. And you dangle over the bay in Rio. And it's about a mile and a half to get up there. And you're riding in that glass-covered cable car, and you're feeling a little shaking here and there, and it hits a bump or two. You see people really going really ghostly pale on that ride. I found it to be an adventure, not that I didn't swallow my tongue a few times, but as we got up toward the first rock, which is called Moro de Urca. That means the it means actually Urca Castle, but it's a natural rock. Well, that cable car is heading to it, so you can change, but when you're heading toward it, guess what? It looks like the cable car is going to smash right into the side of it. And you're looking from that cable car, and your eyes are just, you're hypnotized. And all of a sudden, when you think it's going to crash, it jumps. Then your heart goes with you on that one. And you land, and it lands, and then you change cable cars, and you go on up to the Sugarloaf, or Pão de Açúcar, as they call it in Portuguese. But even though my breath was taken away every time, I wouldn't trade it for the world. But it led me to think I was just being held up by a cable wire, a cable, just a cable, and it was just one like that. So you have to get your mind off that that's all it is. But, you know, in reality, if it did fall, you only have about the last inch to worry about, wouldn't you? But the thing is, I knew that that cable was safe to do. That's the way it is with our faith. We know, again, we are in good hands with God. God will never let us fall. Remember that in your life. Whatever challenges you have, whether it's health or financial or marital or whatever it is, God will help you if you will only call up on Him. And so getting to the top of Sugarloaf was worth it. I stood out there looking after we went to the souvenir store, looking out over the bay, which looks like Jurassic Park because it's very eerie seeing the clouds come in. But you look around, and all of a sudden, out of the Atlantic Ocean was a beautiful tropical moon coming out of the water. I said, Moon, if you were on a date or a honeymoon, that would have been a perfect picture. But that moon was beautiful coming out of it. And I said, it was worth the trip and the gray hair to get up to the top of that place. But, you know, you just think how God can bless us, too. When we are being challenged by harrowing experiences or whatever it may be, God does not forget you. God does not suffer from select memory loss or amnesia. God is there. God goes in front of us, behind us, and on the side of us. God never allows us to be abandoned by Him. Keep that in mind when you are feeling down or depressed or feeling like you're all alone. God is there for you. And that's the most important thing to realize. Will you allow God to reach out to you when those situations occur? God has not let anybody drop yet. So, hey, have that assurance. Insurance companies may drop you, but God will never do so. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, sometimes in our lives, we are met with insecurities. We feel like we're a failure, but in God's eyes, we're not. Help us, O God, in our lives every day, that when we sense to go out on our own, we know You are there to catch us. Help us every day we seek You, O Lord. Help us when we are not feeling too good about ourselves. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.